We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. God rest ye merry gentlemen and gentlewomen. All right. Did you like that opening? Did you like that group right there? That was Mary, Did You Know, South African style. Love it. All right. Holla. All right. That was a group of South African kids singing, and I think they could teach us a thing or two about moving to the music. I know. That was just embarrassing what I just did there. I'm sorry. Whoa, all right. That's a reason to subscribe to the audio podcast and not the video podcast right there. The name of that group is Proclaim, and I just thought that was so great. I just saw it on YouTube and had to share it with you. People all over the world worshiping the Savior in their very own way. We need to join with them and worship the Savior in our own way. Add your own voice, add your own style, add your own heart, add your own testimony in worshiping the Savior. I love it. Thank you for coming out to celebrate Jesus on Christmas Eve. This is the final week of our Christmas Carol series, and we're going to be looking at the oldest Christmas Carol of all time. I want you to go ahead and think, what could that be? What is the oldest Christmas Carol of all time? See if you can figure it out. And before we move on with this sermon, I got to tell you, we have a new member here at Redemption Church. It is Beatrix Blessing. Let's give her a hand. Do we have that picture up right there? That's her. She was born just a few hours ago, around 10:25. And so be in prayer for Jessica and Marshall. If y'all are watching, guys, we love you guys. Hey, I'm shocked that y'all aren't here. Why aren't y'all here? You better raise these kids in church, you know. And what? I'm just kidding. Y'all enjoy your Christmas. This is going to be an unforgettable Christmas for you guys, and we're so thankful for it. All right. So thank you for coming out on this Christmas Eve. We have a lot of people traveling, and there are so many things occupying people's times. You could have been anywhere, but you're here worshiping the Lord, and I'm so excited to get to minister to you today. While you're contemplating about the oldest Christmas carol ever, I want you to open up your Bible to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Let's look to the Word of God. Luke chapter 1, 26. This would be a great Bible study here for you to use your Bible on. So if you have an app on your phone, get that out. If you have Google, you could always just Google Luke chapter 1. Or some people even carry around these things with actual pages that turn. And you could also turn there in one of those archaic things called books. All right, there's nothing wrong with carrying one of those around. We love it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." There's so much just in these three verses that you could build an entire sermon on. And anytime you're in a Christmas service, they might just do that for you. But I want to just teach you a little things about these verses. Maybe you don't know some of the characters. Elizabeth is a character in this story right here. When you're trying to read about the birth of Jesus, these people come up that you're like, I'm not sure who they are. Who is Elizabeth? Can anybody tell us? Mary's cousin. And she was pregnant, 6 months pregnant with a baby who would be named John, known as John the Baptist. All right, excellent. The Baptist was not his last name. That was just a title. I spent some time this week on Facebook telling friends that no, Jesus' last name is not Christ. And his middle name's not Emmanuel. All right? I love questions like that. People don't know. That's great. All right, so that was cool. So John the Baptist's mom's name is Elizabeth, and she's very important to the nativity story. God also sent an angel. Did that angel have a name? Anytime an angel has a name, it's a big deal. All right? There are three major, I think only three angels that are given a name, and they're all archangels. And this is one such archangel. His name is
Gabriel.
All right. He's an important angel, and he's sent to the area of Galilee. But what to what town? Nazareth. All right, Nazareth. So Galilee is the area. Nazareth is the town. And Nazareth, is it a big town? Is it a big metropolis? No, no, it is a tiny, tiny town. They estimate it could have been as small as 50 people. Did anyone ever live in a Texas town that small? There are some Texas towns. You know everybody. Everybody knows everybody in that town. There's no hiding any secrets from a town that size. So God sends this powerful archangel to a forgotten place on the map named Nazareth. In fact, Nazareth is often joked about. It's joked about in Scripture. Have you ever, you know, some small towns that get joked about? Right? I grew up in Waco, and you Dallasites, you always made fun of us. Waco people. All right. We probably deserved it. I never belonged to a cult, though, in Waco. I just want to say that. Branch Davidian joke. All right. Nazareth was often joked about. Can anybody tell us the joke one of the Jesus' own disciples said about Nazareth? Yes. See, very good. That's in John 1:46. Nathanael is told that this man that they've got to meet is from Nazareth. And he's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's the feeling. Guess what? Something, the best thing ever came out of Nazareth. Jesus came out of Nazareth. The overlooked town of Nazareth had the attention of God. You might feel a little bit like Nazareth today. You have the attention of heaven.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And he sent his archangel to Nazareth to speak to a woman named Mary who was a virgin and engaged to marry a man named Joseph. And here is how Mary responds to the angel. Now, a little context here. The Lord hadn't spoken to Israel in 400 years.
Yes.
That's in your Bible. There is a 400-year gap of silence. The first person actually spoken to is Elizabeth's husband. And then Mary's the very next person to be spoken to by this angel. Luke chapter 1:29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now remember, he said, the Lord is with you. You're highly favored. And she responds by saying, her thoughts are, I'm a little troubled by this. I don't know about this. What is this? I've never seen an angel. I've never had someone. What do you want? Maybe somebody comes around you, says, gives you nice little compliments, and you're like, what you talking about? What are you about to ask for? What's going on, right? Verse 30, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Well, that is a great question, Mary. That's a great question. An angel comes to you and says, you're going to have a child and you are not married, much less you're still a virgin. Yeah, you're going to be asking this question. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So, real quick, has anyone ever been married? Anyone ever been married? When you are engaged to be married, you are in planning mode. This is also where most fellas get in trouble because the fiance is in planning mode and the dude's just like, don't do that, guys. So just let me give you some advice. Don't make my mistakes. Okay, learn from my mistakes. Mary is no doubt in planning mode. She's dreaming of this dream wedding. She's planning this wedding. Mary was planning on the day that one day she would have children and the kind of home that she would live in and the kind of wife that she would be to Joseph and the kind of life that she would have. She was planning. Men, don't ever get in the way of a woman and her planning. Don't do it. Do not do it, all right? There is something energetic, there is something powerful, and there is something sweet about a woman planning her household. It's a beautiful thing, all right? And you should embrace that. But the angel Gabriel spoke something no one could have ever planned for. She had no such plan involving an immaculate conception. She had no such plan that she was going to have a child, but the father wouldn't be Joseph. She had none of these plans. So she's right in the middle of this fevered pitch, energetic, passionate, sweet planning. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord says, guess what? Plans are changing. Mary, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, the Holy One. Joseph, your husband-to-be, will not be the father, but God's Spirit will be the father. How in the world would she respond to this? This is, you talk about a moment. This is a moment to really look at a hero in the Bible. How does a hero respond to these moments? Because you do know that the same Lord, he will throw us curveballs. He will throw a change into our plan. And are we going to be so committed to our plan that we pass up the opportunity that God would give us? It would have been such a mistake for Mary to have passed up this opportunity. Here's how she responds, and it's how we should all respond to the Lord when he asks. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So, this is an interesting thing. I just have this picture. We all have this moment where God's showing out, you know, his power's on display. You feel the goosebumps. You have the good moment. You feel his power. Maybe somebody just prophesied to you. Maybe the miracle just happened. Maybe somebody just handed you the exact amount of money that you needed. And you have that moment and it's just great. But then the moment leaves. See, the moment left. The angel left. And it's one thing to feel like you feel in the moment. It's another thing to leave the moment and stay committed to the promise. Right? And that angel left. And guess what? That angel left, and now she has to see other people that don't know what the angel said. And that's a really difficult thing in life. To be in the moment, but then the moment doesn't last and you have to carry the promise out of the moment. Can I just real quick? There have been people that have walked down to this altar and they've had a tremendous moment, but then they walked out of the moment and Monday morning happened and they never held on to the promise. I'm going to tell you, we need a moment here in this altar today. We need a moment here in this church, but we need it to be more than a moment. You got to carry the promise out of the moment. And she said, may your words be fulfilled. I'm going to hold on to your words. Do you realize how ridiculous these words were? You're going to have a baby not born of a man, but born of God. Your baby is going to be the king. He's going to have David's throne forever. Right now, did Israel even have a king? The closest thing they had to a king was Herod, who was an underling of Julius Caesar, this tyrant. And this guy, this baby is going to be... We're a carpenter's family. This promise is absurd. It's crazy. Oh, but it's the Lord. And she grabbed a hold of that promise and said, may it be fulfilled just like you said. Just like you said. God's got promises to you. Some of you have received promises, but maybe you left them in the moment. I invite you to come back to that moment today. Grab a hold of those promises and carry them with you. Don't ever lay them down. Hold on to every promise. His promises are true. They are yes, and they are amen, the Bible says. Clap your hands if you believe it. I'm going to hold on to all the promises of God. Every promise in your Bible belongs to you. Hold on to every one of them. So Mary's in planning mode. She sees this angel. The next thing that happens to her, she goes to talk to Elizabeth, her cousin. As she is greeting Elizabeth, there's something that happens and the baby kicks inside of her, John the Baptist, and it's a wonderful moment. But it's in... After this moment, after the greeting of her cousin Elizabeth, that Mary writes the first Christmas carol ever. The first Christmas carol is in your Bible. Look at somebody say, it's in your Bible. It's in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. We're about to read it, all right? This section of scripture is referred to as the Magnificat. Or Mary's song. Magnificat is a Latin word for to magnify or to glorify. It means to magnify or to glorify. Let's read. We're going to read for a little bit. Luke chapter 1 verse 46. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The first Christmas carol was a song of magnification, magnifying God and rejoicing in the Savior. Mary said, my soul. Everybody said, my soul. My soul glorifies. And Mary said, my spirit, say my spirit. My spirit rejoices. It's almost like, I want you to get in this mindset with me. It's almost like she's commanding her soul. Listen here, soul. You're going to magnify the Lord. Listen here, soul. You're going to glorify God. Listen here, soul. You know why you exist? Because He made you. She makes the decision that her soul is going to magnify the Lord. And then she makes the decision that her spirit is going to rejoice. Remember a few verses late earlier, she said she was very troubled by these words. But here in this chapter, just a few verses later, she says, you listen here, you troubled spirit. You're going to rejoice in God, your Savior. You need to make a decision and you need to push on some things like your soul and your spirit. And you need to say, you listen here. You're not in charge of this. What we're going to do is we're going to magnify God and we're going to rejoice in the Lord. Now, did Mary have reason to worry? Yeah, I would say Mary has more reason to worry than anyone in this room. So what you worried about? Right? Mary had reason to worry, but instead of magnifying her problem, you know that's what worry is, right? Worry just magnifies the problem. Have you ever talked to somebody who was worried? It usually makes me worried. Like, It's the weirdest thing. You go on YouTube and you can go down some rabbit hole and see somebody talking to their computer monitor webcam, and they're talking about some crazy conspiracy, and they're like, and before you know it, you're like, oh my gosh, you know that's true. The world is about to end in 12 days. Like, that will happen. Some, you listen to somebody talking about worrying, you start worrying. That's how it is, all right? It's crazy. Stay away from those things. Stay away from those things, all right? Somebody can even take a scripture and, like, twist it in such a way. I remember Sarah and I, we watched somebody talk about this one passage in about the king of the north and the king of the south in Revelation. We're like, oh my goodness, that's Putin, and we're all about to die. We got to pray. And the truth is, we needed to pray, but the truth was that that's not, we were worrying. We were magnifying the problem. And you can magnify the problem, or you can magnify the Lord. And the Lord is the answer. How many know He's the answer? Somebody say He's the answer. Magnifying the problem never leads anywhere. It just spreads panic. It just loses all your peace. It just drives you insane. But when you magnify the Lord, that's when the answer comes. That's, you know what? You magnify that problem, it just looks bigger than you all of a sudden. But God's already bigger than you. You're just getting a bigger view of Him than ever. And you realize not only is He bigger than you, whoa, these problems look so small beside my huge, awesome God. Mary had reason to worry. She had reason to doubt. But instead of magnifying uncertainty, she rejoiced in God. Well, what's going to happen when Joseph finds out? Well, the angel didn't tell her that. Angel didn't tell her that. What's going to happen when your best friends find out? What's going to happen when your mom and dad find out? Well, are they going to believe this angel story? What's going to happen when this baby's born? What's going to happen when he turns, when Joseph has you stoned because of Old Testament law? What's going to happen? No, Israel, did she have reason to doubt? Yes, she had reason to doubt. Can I tell you something? You will always have reason to doubt. You don't rejoice when you've run out of reason to doubt. Come on, somebody. That's good right there. You will never rejoice if you're waiting for reasons to fall to the wayside to not doubt. Do you realize everybody in your Bible had to operate on faith? Everybody. Adam and Eve walked with the Lord, but they had to operate in some level of faith. God gave them a promise about the Messiah to come, and every day that they lived until their dying day, they lived by faith, believing that it would happen. Abraham heard the very voice of God, but he had to operate by faith in every day that he lived. He was told he was going to have a baby. He operated by faith all the way till he got the baby. He finally gets the baby and has to operate by faith to his dying day that that baby will turn into a great nation, because he never saw it. He only saw the baby. Everybody had to operate by faith. Do you know that even God has to operate by faith? He believes in you. He has faith that you're going to come through. And that might be questionable. But God has faith in you. Everybody that's ever lived operates by faith. Oh, I'm only down to my faith. Join the club. We're all only down to our faith. We're all operating by faith. I'm not living by my bank account. I'm living by my faith. I'm not living by my car. Will it start tomorrow? I'm living by my faith. I'm living by my faith. Did she have reason to worry? Absolutely, but she magnified the Lord. Did she have reason to doubt? Oh, she had it in spades, child, but she rejoiced in the Lord. Mary could have said, I will rejoice after I come through this problem. And we've said that to the Lord before, haven't we? Oh man, I'm going to praise you once this happens, Lord. Is that how it's supposed to work? And here's what usually happens. The Lord does it, but another problem comes, and you're like, well, Lord, you know, after this next problem, Lord, I just feel that in my spirit, that, you know, next problem comes. No, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Mary could have said those things, but instead she rejoiced in the promise of God before it was fulfilled. Before it was fulfilled, she rejoiced. By faith, she magnified her God above the size of her fear and doubt. Now, I'm probably talking to people that have reason to worry and have reason to doubt. You have reason for fear. You have reason for uncertainty. You have many problems. I'm probably speaking to some of you today. I get that. I'm with you. Here's what you need to do. Tell your soul. Listen up here, soul. Magnify God. We're going to make a decision today, you and me, soul. We're going to magnify God. And you need to tell your spirit, hey, spirit, you're going to rejoice in God your Savior today. The decision calls for pronouns. I'm sorry to go to an English lesson real quick, but these two verses that we just read from Mary are, you have these pronouns that just stick out there. My soul and my spirit. The decision calls for pronouns like I and my. I will praise the Lord. My heart will sing His praise. I will put my trust in Him. But in order to make a decision, you have to use some pronouns like I and my. Before today's over, somebody needs to make a decision. I will go pray in this altar. I will give my problems to the Lord. I will ask the Lord to help me in this issue. I will worship the Lord before the problem. You need to come to the decision, and the decision requires you to use some I language and some my language. But as you enter past the decision into the magnifying and rejoicing in the Lord, the pronouns change. Look at the remainder of this first Christmas carol, verse 48. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Verse 49. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hunger with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors. Did you notice a shift in the pronouns? Yes. When you make the decision to worship God, it requires your personal pronoun. I will. And my will. My soul and my heart. In this moment, I will. And when tomorrow comes, God, I promise I will. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You know that, Psalm 103? I make the decision on what I will magnify. You get to make the decision on what you will put your hope in. You get to make the decision in what you will rejoice in. You get to make the decision in what will be the focus of your vision. That's you. You get to do that. You make the decision on what you will magnify and what you will rejoice in. Mary made the decision before she saw the promise fulfilled. Mary made this decision before she talked to Joseph. Mary made this decision before she faced the gossiping whispers in the small town of Nazareth. Mary made the decision before she traveled to Bethlehem and ended up with no room and staying in a stable. She made this decision before she labored to give birth to this child. She made the decision and then she lived according to the decision. Let me tell you something. Here's usually what we do. We make a decision on Sunday, but then we have to make a decision again on Monday. What Mary did is she made the decision, and then the rest of her life, she lived out that decision. One day, Mary, still living out that decision, looked up to Golgotha and looked up, and on the cross was the baby she gave birth to. But she had already made the decision. My soul and my spirit will magnify the Lord. That would have killed all of us. Let me tell you, it killed her. But she had already made her decision. You see, standing in that moment, if she would have needed to make the decision there, I'm not so sure she could have. The problem was so great. But she made the decision back there, and she lived through all of these things. And we see her past Calvary. We see her in Acts chapter 2. She is in the upper room, and she is being filled with the same Spirit that gave her the baby. The same Holy Ghost that overshadowed her is overshadowing her again. And she's filled one more time. She had to go. Whoa, I have felt this before. I remember way back when I made the decision and I've been living, and here he is again. She didn't lose her baby. The same Spirit that is the Son was filling her life one more time. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful things happen when you make the decision to magnify. Beautiful things happen when you make the decision to rejoice in God, your Savior. Have you made the decision? Have you made the decision? I'm telling you, 8-year-old Chris Fluitt made a decision. I remember where I was, January 24th, 1988. I love the 80s, y'all. I love it. January 24th, 1988, I came down to an altar and God radically filled me with the Holy Spirit, just like he filled Mary, like we were just talking in Acts chapter 2. God did that for me in Waco, Texas. Can anything good come out of Waco? Absolutely. The Lord filled me with that Holy Spirit. I made my decision to live for him that day. When I walk into another problem, I'm not like, oh, will I trust the Lord? No. That decision was already made. And can I just be real with you real quick? That 8-year-old Chris Fluitt, he had a heart that was beautiful. 38-year-old, gosh, that's been 30 years. Gosh, Lord. I just turned 38 a few days ago, 2 days ago. All the things going on in my world and everything, I'm not always ready to make the right decision. But what's so great is I don't have to make the decision anymore. I already made the decision. Do you realize an 8-year-old's decision is guiding a 38-year-old's life? And I'm a better man for it. 8-year-old Chris Fluitt says, why are you worried? You said that God would be your God and that you would give him all your problems. So why are you worrying, 38-year-old Chris Fluitt? Didn't you know you made a decision? 8-year-old Chris Fluitt went down to an altar and didn't care about what anybody was thinking. He cried his eyes out and worshiped the Lord. So 38-year-old Chris Fluitt, why are you peeking around and seeing if anybody's looking at you? Like that matters. 8-year-old Chris Fluitt says, you know what? If you take me to a third world nation, or if you call me to clean a toilet, God, I'll do it. 38-year-old Chris Fluitt, do you have a hold of that decision? Live that decision out. You need to jump into a time machine today and go back to the place where you made the decision. You need to pick up that decision and say, may your words be fulfilled, and you need to live them out today. But I'm also talking to some people that you've not made that decision. Can you make that decision today? Do you feel that bubbling up in you today? Why don't you make that decision today? God, I don't even know all that means, but God, I'll worship you. God, I don't know what you might call me into, but I say yes to it in advance. God, I don't even know what it means to rejoice in you, if that's like lifting my hands and jumping, but You got it, God. I'm going to do it. My spirit, my soul, my life, my body, my future, my past, my immediate present, it all belongs to you. In a few moments, if you've never made that decision, I want you to walk boldly up into the first 2 feet. We want to talk to you today. You could make that decision today. Clap your hands if that's exciting. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Oh, man. 8-year-old Chris Fluitt dreamed of the day Chris Fluitt would grow up and be able to walk somebody into a moment like this. I love it. I love it. I love it. So, it's Christmas Eve, and you've sung carols, and we've looked at the Word of God, and now it's our turn to make a decision to magnify, and what we're going to magnify, and who we're going to rejoice in. And you could just simply go home at this moment and say, well, I went to a good church service, we hung out, and we talked about Mary and Jesus, and you know, and we talked, and it was really good, and they even had like little sweet goodies up at the front of the church, and it was great. It was really cool. You could walk by, you could walk out of here at this moment, but you could go much further. You could grab a hold of a decision that'll change the rest of your life. The first thing is you make the decision, and it's an I and it's a my decision. But what happens next? Is the I and the my go away, and it's all about him, it's all about he, and it's all about his. Over the next few moments, could you make the next moments go from I and my? I will open up this Christmas present. My gift is going to be opened. Could you let that go by the wayside? And could you let the pronouns shift to a you, God, to a he is my God, to his will, not mine. My Lord, he is the one that I'll live for. Could you let that happen? Or will you just simply go home and finish out the rest of your traditions? Wouldn't it be weird to have a Christmas tradition without Christ? Wouldn't it be strange to have a Christless Christmas? I beg you, please don't let that happen. We're about to come talk to God. Before we do, I want you to make your decision. Decide that you'll come and honor him today. Decide that you're going to live for him in this moment. Decide that if he tells you to do something, you'll do it. Decide that you're going to lift your hands and surrender to him. Decide that you're done worrying about your problems, that you were magnifying the wrong thing. Decide instead that you'll magnify the Lord and exalt his name. After the decision, then the pronouns change. And so you'll walk up here with a my. My feet are going to take me to the altar. I will go to the altar. But when you come to this altar, it turns into, he is all I need. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. God, it is all about you. I challenge you today, come. If you have special needs in your life, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. If you never made that decision, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray for you. If you don't come into this area where I'm standing right now, nobody's going to bother you. But I just want to rejoice with you today. I want everybody to speak out to the Lord and call on his name. They're going to be singing a song in a moment. But could you just make a decision and let the pronouns begin to change where your family, where your future, where your life becomes all about the King that was born in Bethlehem. Father, right now I pray for every person that's in this house. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we've been magnifying the wrong thing. I pray right now that we would magnify you, that we would rejoice from our spirit, God. Lord, that there would be a shift, that there would be a holy encounter in this place, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray for our families, God, that our families would make a decision, that moms and dads would make a decision, Lord, that we would see our children, our grandchildren make decisions, God, in the name of Jesus. Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.